law of the heifer, Numbers chapter 19, verses 1 to 22, the process, verse 1 to 10, and the procedure, verse 11 to 22. It is interesting to observe that the Day of Atonement is not mentioned in the book of Numbers, and the water of purification, or the ordinance of the red heifer, is not mentioned in the book of Leviticus, observed O.T. Spence. This is one of the most significant and beautiful ceremonies in the entire Bible. It is that most unique expression from the Lord in our involuntary defilements with dead bodies, or with the dead, things unseen, things that could hurt us, and we not see it. With the wilderness before them, Israel was to meet a lot of dead bodies and dead bones. An entire generation of 603,550, beside those of Levi and children and women, would succumb to their graves. There was a great need for such an ordinance, and those were days when it would be very easy to become defiled by the bodies of the dead. There is something about this ordinance that seems so right for the times. Those who survived death certainly needed a provision that would keep them safe. Yes, this ordinance was used to keep them safe, the safekeeping of the separated, sanctified Israel through all his wilderness wanderings. Isn't it so true? There is this water of purification. Whenever we go home, right? In these days, we would change our clothes, and we would go and clean ourselves with water and with soap, with so that we may be able to protect ourselves from any lurking viruses. The cleansing of the leper was an ordinance for the cleansing of a child of God if and when he sinned. The cleansing of the Israelite through the ordinance of the red heifer was to keep him from sin. In the daily lives, the Jewish people are sensitive to what is called clean and unclean. And it is the will of God that they be a people consecrated unto him in holiness. Leviticus 11 verses 44 to 45 says, "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." The regulation for clean and unclean are taught in Leviticus 11 to 15, which we have studied, ranging from what they could eat, how they could handle body discharges and infections, and what to do with dead bodies. Certainly, there was a hygiene behind these laws, but also a spiritual purpose to teach the Jews the difference between holiness and sin, and to encourage them to walk in holiness. Wesby said well here. This chapter is not only concerning the preparing and using of the ashes, which were to impregnate the water of purification. The people had complained of the strictness of the law, which forbid their near approach to the tabernacle. Here in Numbers 17, verse 13, it is said, "Whosoever cometh anything near unto the tabernacle of the Lord shall die." Shall we be consumed with dying? In answer to this complaint, they are here directed to purify themselves so that they might come as far as they had occasion without fear. So the method of preparing these ashes by the burning of the red heifer with a great deal of ceremony, the way of using it, they were designed to purify persons from pollution contracted by a dead body. They were to put into running water and a small quantity of them with which the person to be cleansed must be purified. And this ceremonial purification, Matthew Henry observed, was a type and figure of the cleansing of the conscience of believers from the pollutions of sin by the Apostle Paul's discourse in Hebrews 9, verse 13 to 14, where he compares the efficacy of the blood of Christ with the sanctifying virtue that was in the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean. Hebrews 9, verse 13 and 14 says, "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, which through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" And so the ordinance, the process of purification, the writer of Hebrew points us to the blood of Christ through the eternal Spirit, how Christ offered himself to God and saved us. How does he save us? Well, by his blood. And there, that sanctifying process, right, involves the purging of our conscience. In other words, we find peace with God when our sins are forgiven, when our sins are confessed before him. And here the Lord shows us by this ordinance that we may be able to draw nigh to him correctly. Verse 1, the process, verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, This is the ordinance of the law, which the Lord hath commanded, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they may bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came yoke." And so here it can be observed, there are some features that is mentioned concerning the offering, that it is not male but female, that it is to be slain outside the camp, and that it is to be away from the tabernacle and the altar, and it is to be slain not by the priest but by a layman. And the blood was not caught and poured out before God, but burned with the body. And the ashes were gathered and mixed with water. And this is used for purification. Observe where it's be. The animal selected had to be without blemish, red in color, and never yoked for service. Aaron's son and successor, Eleazar, led the heifer outside the camp, where a layman killed it in the presence of the priest. The word used for the slaughtering of the animal is not the word used for the sacrificing an animal. There's no altar involved. Eleazar caught some of the blood and sprinkled towards the tabernacle 7 times. So you can observe that there is no container to hold the blood, right? But the blood is, when the animal is killed, the blood is simply taken and sprinkled. The carcass with the blood was then burned, and the word used here is not the word for the burning of a sacrifice. While the body was burning, Eleazar dropped 3 important items into the fire: the cedar wood and hyssop. Hyssop is a porous plant that absorbs liquid, and scarlet wool, all of which were used for the cleansing ceremony of the leper. Leviticus 4:4, 4:6, and Psalm 51 verse 7 says, "And he shall bring the bullock up into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head and kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle the blood seven times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. The psalmist says in Psalm 51, verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. So you see here the process of cleansing is stipulated in this law. Because of their involvement with the dead body, the Eleazar and the men assisting him were considered ceremonially unclean and had to wash themselves and their clothes before returning to the camp in the evening. A man ceremonially clean gathered up the ashes into a container and placed it in a clean place outside the camp, accessible to the people. He then had to wash before he could return to the camp. So here we can see in the Eton Bible Dictionary that the heifer was appointed for sacrifice in opposition to Egyptian superstition, which held this sacred and worshipped their goddess Isis under this form. And this appears the more likely because males only were chosen for sacrifice. So Herodotus says, they sacrifice males, both old and young, but it is not lawful for them to offer females. It was to be a red heifer, because the Egyptians sacrifice red bulls to evil demon Typhon. This is what the Egyptians would do. It was to be without spot, having no mixture of any other color. And Plutarch says, the Egyptians sacrifice red bulls and select them with such scrupulous attention that if the animal has a single black or white hair, they reckon it atuton, unfit to be sacrificed. So here we are told that this is to be without blemish. This law is given, and this law also is enforced among all the nations that sacrifice victims in their deities. Leviticus 22, verse 21, it says here, and whosoever offereth a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vow or freewill offering in beeves and sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. On which never came yoke, because an animal which had been used for common purpose was deemed improper for sacrifice. This is taken from the Treasury of Scriptural Knowledge. So here in Leviticus 14 verse 6 says, as for the living bird, he shall take it and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed and over the running water. Here we observe how sin is purified. Isaiah 1 verse 18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So here is described the process of sin, right? How it is heinous, and yet in the blood of the Lord, in the blood of Christ, all is removed. Revelation 1 verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten from the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So in Numbers 19, a rite is described in which the ashes of the red heifer, the red bull, the female one, of certain objects are mixed with running water. This water was employed in the removal of the uncleanness of a person or thing that had been in contact with a dead body, and also in removing ritual defilement from booty taken in war. So the origin of it is clearly stated here, and it was part of the official sacrificial system of Israel that here is being introduced in Numbers 19. For the removal of impurity, ritual as well as physical water, preferably running water, is the natural means and is employed universally. So the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in a earthen vessel over running water. Leviticus 14 verse 5. Leviticus 15 verse 13. And when he had made an issue, is cleansed by his issue, then he shall number to himself 7 days for his cleansing, and wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in running water, and shall be clean. So there's a time period, right? 3 days you observe, 7 days after purification, a person is considered clean. But where the impurity was unusually great, mere water was not felt to be adequate. The various substances were mixed in with it in order to increase its efficacy. So among other things, blood is used in Leviticus 14 verse 6 to 7 and dust in Numbers 5 verse 17. And as for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water, and was sprinkled upon him that was cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and let the living bird loose into the open field. And the priest shall take holy water in an earthen vessel, and the dust that is in the floor of the tabernacle, the priest shall take and put it on the water. The use, however, of ashes in verse 17 is unique in the Old Testament, although parallels are elsewhere being adduced. Verse 17 says, as for an unclean person, they shall take the ashes of the burnt heifer of purification for sin, and running water shall be put thereto in the vessel. So the ashes were obtained by burning the heifer completely, her skin, the flesh, the blood, the dung. And here it is observed in Exodus 29 verse 14, but the flesh of the bullock and his skin and his dung shalt thou burn with fire without the camp. It is a sin offering. So there is a precedence there. Right? Here only in the Old Testament is blood burned for a ceremonial purpose. And here only is burning a pure liminary. Elsewhere, it is either a chief act or serve to consume the remnants of a finished sacrifice, as in Leviticus 14 verse 12. Even the whole bullock shall he carry without the camp unto a clean place where the ashes are poured out, and burn him onto the wood with fire where the ashes are poured out shall he be burned. And he shall give her unto Eleazar, verse 3 says, the priest, and he shall bring her forth without the camp, and one shall slay her before his face. So the heifer is female. For the regular sin offering for the congregation, only the male was permitted. Leviticus 14 verse 4, it says here, and when the sin that they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation shall take a young bullock for the sin and bring it before the congregation of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Deuteronomy 21 verse 3 says, and it shall be that the city which is next unto the slain man, even the elders of that city, shall take a heifer which hath not been wrought with and hath not been yoked, drawn in the yoke. And the priests of the sons of Levi shall come near for them, and the Lord thy God hath chosen to minister unto him and to bless in the name of the Lord. By their word shall every controversy and every stroke be tried, and all the elders of that city that are next unto the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer that is beheaded in the valley, and shall answer and say, our hands have not shed this blood, neither have we seen it. So if there is a murder that took place, and it is suspected that perhaps it is from a certain city, then inquisition is made, and if there is no foul play, then the leaders of the city has to come forth and kill that heifer, okay, to as a way by which to say that they are innocent, right, from the slain. An individual sin offering by one of the common people, however, required a female, but probably only in order to give greater prominence to the more solemn sacrifice for which the male was reserved. Leviticus 4 verse 28. Or if his sin, which he has sinned, come to his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a female without blemish, for his sin which he hath sinned. So you see here that there is such a requirement. A female is required again in the case given here in Leviticus 5 verse 1 to 7, most of which are ritual defilements needing purification. Females are required at the purification of a leper in addition to two males. Leviticus 14 verse 10, a female and a male was offered when a Nazarite terminated his vows. So here, Leviticus 5 verse 1 to 7 says, if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing and is a witness, whether he has seen or known of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. Or if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast or a carcass of an unclean cattle, or carcass of an unclean creeping thing, and if it be hidden from him, he shall be unclean or guilty. Or if he touch the uncleanness of men, whatsoever uncleanness it be, that a man shall be defiled herewith and be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty. Or if a soul swear, pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be, that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty of one of this. And it shall be, when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall profess that he hath sinned in that thing, and he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin which he has sinned. A female from the flock, take note here, a female from the flock, a kid or a lamb of the goats for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. And if he be not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass which he has committed two turtle doves or two pigeons unto the Lord, one for a sin offering, the other for a burnt offering. And so you can see here the connection between the purification and the sacrifice of a female. There are a list of requirements that is given here. And the other requirement is that the heifer must be red or reddish brown, verse 2 tells us. Likeness in color to blood is at first sight the most natural explanation, is given here by Eaton, Bible Dictionary. And again, we have mentioned that the heifer is to be without spot. And the use of cedar and hyssop. While the heifer is being burned, cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet thread or scarlet wool were cast into the flames. The same combinations of the objects is found in the cleansing of the leper. The explanations offered are almost countless. It is quite clear that hyssop was especially prized in purifications, but the use of hyssop as a sprinkler and the use of ashes of hyssop may be quite unrelated. So here in Psalm 51 verse 7, it is described, "Purge me with hyssop," the psalmist says, "and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." It's also observed that hyssop and cedar are supposed to have medicinal properties, or point maybe of aromatic wood. A mixture of cedar and other substance in water as a classificatory medium. The scarlet wool offers still greater difficulties, he observed. Apart from the color, it may be noted that the scarlet plays a part in some of the Babylonian conjurations. But obviously, none of this leads very far, and it may all be in the wrong direction. All that may be said definitely is that Leviticus 14 verse 4 and verse 6 of our text in Numbers chapter 19 show that the combination of objects were deemed to have a high purificatory value. So this is for purification, and this added, and the priest shall take cedar and hyssop and scarlet and cast it into the midst of the burning of the fire. So the procedure, verse 11 to 22, he that touches the dead body for any of the men shall be unclean 7 days, and he shall purify himself with it on the third day, and on the seventh day he shall be clean. But if he purify not himself the third day, then the seventh day he shall not be clean. So here you notice how the ashes are used. The people would become ceremonially unclean, but from touching dead bodies, verse 11 to 13 tells us, and being in a tent with somebody who has died, verse 14 and 15 tells us, or touching anything that itself was defiled, verse 16, could be made clean again by using these ashes. So these ashes are used for purification together with running water. They would have to wait 3 days after their defilement and then go to the camp with a ceremonially clean man to a place where the ashes are kept. The man would mix some of the ashes with running water in the vessel, dip hyssop into the water and sprinkle it into the unclean person. Verse 17. And for the unclean person, they shall take of the ashes of the burnt heifer of purification for sin, and running water shall be therefore thereto in the vessel, put thereto in the vessel. And in a clean person shall take hyssop and dip it in the water and sprinkle it with the tent and upon all the vessels, upon the persons that were there, and upon him that touches a bone or slain or one dead or grave. And the clean person shall sprinkle upon the unclean on the third day and on the seventh day, and on the seventh day he shall purify himself and wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and shall be clean at evening. So this would be repeated 4 days later on the seventh day. The cleansed persons would be then wash themselves and wait until the evening to return to the camp. It is a serious offense not to be purified, because defiled persons defile the camp. God's presence dwelt in the tabernacle, and he walked among his people. So verse 13 says, whoso touches the dead body of any man that is dead and purifieth not himself, defileth the tabernacle of the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from Israel. So here, verse 20, it is also described, but the man that shall be unclean and shall not purify himself, is again repeated, that soul shall be cut off from among the congregation, because he has defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. Leviticus 26, verse 11 and 12 tells us why. I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. Deuteronomy 23, verse 12 to 14. Thou shalt have a place also without the camp, whether thou shalt go abroad, and thou shalt have a paddle upon the weapon, thy weapon, and it shall be when thou shalt ease thyself abroad and shalt dig therewith, and shalt turn back and cover that which cometh from thee. For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thee to deliver thee and to give up thine enemies before thee. Thou shalt be, and therefore shall thy camp be holy. So here it is related, right, to how the Lord would protect them. How the Lord would protect them. The Lord would be in the midst of them, and they are to keep themselves purified, right, in order that that they may be protected from the Lord, protected by the Lord. Therefore, the camp had to be kept holy. Unclean person who refused to be cleansed were cut off from the nation and stoned to death. The church today doesn't worry about external ritual uncleanness, whereas we observe, but we should take to heart the lesson of this chapter that God wants us to be a holy people. We should cleanse ourselves from all unfiltiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1. So God promises forgiveness and cleansing for his children if they turn from their sins and confess them to the Lord. An innocent animal had to die to provide ritual cleansing for the Jews, but the innocent Lamb of God had to die to provide cleansing for us. When Jesus came, John the baptizer said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And Peter observed in 1 Peter 1, verse 18 to 23, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, seeing that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." So, what are the application and the sacredness of the ashes eaten, observed? The ashes, when obtained, were used in removing the greatest impurities. Consequently, they themselves were deemed to be extraordinary, consecrated character, and they were not to be handled carelessly. Their consecration extended to the rite by which they were produced, so that every person engaged in it was rendered unclean. An excellent example of how the primitive religious thought, the ideas of holiness and uncleanness blend. And so you observe here that indeed there is a origin, right, in which you can see how it was to be stipulated concerning the purification of the people of Israel while they were in the wilderness, and later on also after they have gone to the promised land. May the Lord strengthen us and bless us with his grace as we look to Christ, our Savior, and his finished work of justification on our behalf by his shed blood on the cross once for all for the remission of our sins. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy grace in gathering us once again to study thy word. Strengthen us and grant to us indeed peace and joy, knowing that in Jesus Christ, if we would confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank thee, Lord, for providing the way of access for purification from sin. We pray this with thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.